A reading from the sixth chapter of Galatians, verses 14 through 18. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 27 to 38. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes again in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther says, "In the morning, when you rise, you shall make the sign of the Holy Cross, and you shall say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then, kneeling or standing, you shall say the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. In the evening, when you go to bed, you shall make the sign of the cross, and you will say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then, kneeling or standing, you shall say the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer." Luther's words are incredibly fitting words for Holy Cross Day, especially as we seek God's blessing upon our confirmands here at Joy. St. Paul says the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Sometimes the stunning, potent excitement of the cross gets lost amidst the cross's popularity on walls and songs and hymns and sermons and readings and just art in general. Sometimes the excitement is just lost because it's so very present and prevalent. The cross is the center of our faith. We actually should be excited about it. The message about the cross, though, truly is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To first century hearers, St. Paul's statement seems foolish because the cross means that Imperial Rome has power over you. The cross is reserved for the execution of people who've been conquered by Rome. Citizens of Rome are not crucified. This is how come Paul is imprisoned, then beheaded, yet St. Peter, who is a conquered person, is crucified. He's from Galilee. Paul's from Tarsus. If Rome conquers you and you offend Rome, Rome can strip you, whip you, nail you to a tree to hang there until dead. That's what the cross means to the hearers of Paul. So when Paul speaks of the cross of Jesus as a positive, he's saying something that will sound utterly foolish to this original audience. These hearers have been seeing so-called messiahs come and go. So what makes this Jesus different? This Jesus is tortured and killed by the Romans, just like all the rest. Except what's different here is that with this Jesus, after his crucifixion, his disciples go all around Judea proclaiming that Jesus is risen from the dead. And all but one of those disciples chooses to be murdered rather than to deny what they've seen. The resurrection of Jesus gives new meaning to the cross. The resurrection makes the cross, rather than a source of terror, a source of hope. The cross means we are crucified to one another, and that this world's powers are rendered impotent by God's love at work through rough wood and sharp nails. This is how come we are saved by the cross, by God's love at work through the cross. The means of imperial domination for us becomes the source of redemption, the means of everlasting life. God's love overcomes absolutely everything that would separate us from God, revealing that everything else is just another dead end. As Paul puts it, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision count for anything. What counts is what God's love is doing through the cross, what Paul calls new creation. Only the work that God has done in Jesus by the cross matters, because it's the only thing that gives new creation. What does this mean for us? Well, it means that while today does celebrate the anniversary of St. Helena's discovery of the cross in Jerusalem and the dedication of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in 324 AD, that we celebrate, lift up, and honor the cross because God's love makes new creation happen through it. We take seriously what Jesus says about the cross, that we must take up our own crosses and follow Jesus. We see what God's love does for us on that cross, and our lives are shaped by it. For as St. Paul tells us, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. By the cross, God identifies with victims over perps, calling us away from our search for happiness and validation and whatever it is that the world offers. By the cross, God's love invites us to examine our consciences, to daily renounce this world's distractions and its attachments, to daily offer them to God, along with our lives, our hearts, our whole being, in sacrifice. That's the whole point of confession. Giving everything to the God of love, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it left right there, given to the God of love at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, we sign and pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, confessing that rather than give ourselves to the God of love, we seek happiness and validation by giving ourselves to power, diversion, sex, politics, sports, partying, leisure, and heavy drinking. We give ourselves to pouting, to dramatics, to improper pride, to finger pointing, to shaming, and to neglecting our neighbors. Under the shadow of the cross, we say, Merciful God, I confess that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and by what I have left undone. We do this because Jesus says, If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's what Jesus says. So that's what we do. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.